Good. He embraced the cross. died on the cross so that we might be saved. He didn't take it back. He says, when you give to people, don't give out of your account, because your account will leave you bankrupt. Because you ain't got nothing to give. But if you give to somebody, give out of God's account. Look what he has done for you. Then you give out of that spirit. Because if you give out of your flesh and your own ability, okay, I did this for you. Now, once you do this to me, then that check gonna bounce. You may not know what happens with a check bounce. I don't either. But when that check bounce, you won't double of what you just gave back. But you can't get it because you gave it out of the flesh. But when you give out love, God says, remember when you didn't pray? Remember when you didn't fast? Remember when you wasn't doing all the right things? That's when I died for you. I didn't die for you when you was at your best. I died for you when you was at your lowest. Oh, let me prove it to you in the word, amen. Yeah. It says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the what? Ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die for. I know some good guys that will actually give their life. But that doesn't mean that you got God's kind of love. But God demonstrated this agape, his own love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more? See, you know, when I got saved, then that's when I don't make no more mistakes. Lie, you cry. Lie, you cry. It says, since we have been justified by his what? By our morals, right? No. It says, we've been justified by his blood, y'all. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? First, it's like, okay, this is the world and this is you. How much more will you be saved? See, the problem that we issue with the world is, you messed up. Look at you, I see you mess up. I see you lie, I see you steal, I see you fornicate, I see you do this before your time, I see. And we're pushing something on them, and we're not giving them unconditional love that actually can heal the hearts. Amen. This is the love that don't ask nothing back from somebody. You know, it's good to be appreciated for some time, you know, for something you do good. But that's what God says this. When you are looking for approval, you just got your reward. Amen. Oh. Amen. Whoa. Amen. Reward is eternal. The love that he gives for you is forever. Yes. Well, man can be with you one day, throwing palm trees at you, saying, hey, you the Christ. And then the next day, they was crucifying him. That's the reason why when man is so happy because a woman or man loves me, that love die out. I'm just waiting for the clock for it to die out. Because it's going to die out. But his joy, it keeps going and going and going and going. The energizer. He's the ultimate energizer. When I got fired from my job unjustly, and God gave me something new, and they saw me, and they knew I just got fired 6 months ago, and I just got to burn a house in St. Peter, they looked at me, even that piece, they looked at me in a disdain, like, what you doing here? I said, what you doing here? I said, my God said work even when you stopped. What you thought this was?
Come on, bro.
Wi-Fi. Always go back to it. Just because you get disconnected or someone disconnects you doesn't mean that it stopped, right? God's love never stops. It keeps going. Only thing we have to do is yield to it, y'all. Tap in, amen. It says in 1 Peter, above all, love each other deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Man, I'm telling you, y'all. It covers the darkest thing that you've ever done. And then, love corrects.
corrects.
No.
Yeah. It also corrects. It says in Hebrews 12:6, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastises everyone he accepts as his son or daughter. And I remember I used to think that chastise means you just take the statue kid and you hit him in the chest. That's what the picture of some religious folks see. Chastise me that. That's not chastise. That's abuse. And God will never abuse you, amen. God, you know, I remember I was in Michigan with my mom for a funeral, and I remember this person, my little cousin, was running out in the street, and this voice came from me that I haven't even heard. I was like, stop, don't go! And everybody just looked, and he looked at me, and as soon as he turned around, he was running in between two cars, about to run into the street and get this ball. This car went, shoo, right by. And he looked at me with so much alarm that I'm glad he turned from his ways to look at me, because he was about to get hit. See, the God that loves us, he won't just let you wreck yourself. If you're going down the wrong path and say, no, that's not it. I love you too much not to say nothing to you. That's not love. But we distinguish, oh man, he chastised me. No, he chastised you because he loves you. No other reason. I said, Lord, correct me every day then. Let me know what's your way and not my way. Then he says, you know what? I'm going to give you something higher than that. I'm going to give you my love. And when you know my love, you know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. It won't be a beating on you. It'll be a revealing in you. It'll be a sense of, I don't want to go there. Why? I can't even explain. But love's telling me not. Amen. I'm going to read this Zacchaeus story. Anthony kind of hit on it this morning, but I'm going to hit it on again. I told him this story this morning, and he pretty much nailed it more than me, but I'm going to go and read it anyway, y'all. In Luke 19, it says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very wealthy. Back then, the tax collectors were looked on as evil people because they would use the tax collectors to collect from them to take more money than they supposed to and give it to the Romans. And he was a Jew. So we got a name for people like that, amen. He wanted to see Zacchaeus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. Oh, poor Zacchaeus. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'm going to stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he is going to be with the guests of the sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will repay them back four times the amount. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the what? The lost. Unconditional love came to. See, this is different if you know between grace and law. Law demands from you. Grace comes to you.
Come on.
Law says, if you do this, do this, do this, then you will be in God's righteousness. God says, if you just receive me, can I just come to your house today? I know you ain't been the right way. I know you haven't done all the right things, but can I just come to your house? What's your house? Your mind, your heart, where you live. Some people come to church, but they're standing in a tree looking afar. Saying, that's a nice church, but I I know he's forgiven me, but get your butt out the way. The first time I actually heard it with my inner ear forgiveness is in my 20s. And I was grown in church, under the pew, hearing it every day. But when I heard it with the real ear, something leaped up inside of me and said, I ain't got to be ashamed no more. I ain't got to have fear no more. I ain't got to look bad and act like I'm just a little old window me with a disability because I can't read right and I can't spell right. He said, no. I don't even look at you like that anymore. You don't even have permission to look upon yourself like that anymore. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. I said, Lord, well, why did it take all this time? He says, it took all that time just for you to believe. But I was always right here loving you. Jesus was always loving Zacchaeus. But it's the action of saying, I'm going to allow you to come in, Jesus. We look at the habits of our life. And I said, man, habits are easy. Introduce Jesus to your habits and watch your habits run like darkness. I promise any prostitute that's about to do whatever, and I say, come on, let's pray. And let's thank God for this day. Watch what that desire does. Only thing you have to do is include him. Come on, God don't hear me. Only thing you have to do is include him. What is him? The same him that saved Zacchaeus when he was a dirty, short scoundrel. The same Jesus that cleansed Peter's feet and he knew that he was going to lie on him 3 times. The same Jesus that washed his feet and he shouldn't have had his feet being washed. The same Jesus that placed Mary Magdalene in the blanket and says, listen, I don't even look at you like this no more. And all the young people that was about to stone her, no, drop your rocks, because guess what? Who of you all that has never said before? None of y'all but me. So I'm the only one that got the judgment here. And I see you as clean, Mary. I see you as right. And I love you. But then go and say no more. Why? Because God knows the detriment of what sin can do to your mind, will, and your emotions. It messes you up. I can go eat 2 boxes of Little Caesars and be good with God. But my stomach will have bubbles. A person can do drugs and be on the habit, and God will love them right as they on that crack pipe. Y'all know his love. I love him 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. Forgive him. That's not what God's saying. God's saying, okay, after you 4, 5, fall down your 4,000th time, I'm still going to be right here. Introducing you to come back home. That's God's love. That's the love this world needs. Not the strike 1, strike 2, 3 strikes you out. They need you accept it. You are love. Come here. I want to give you a hug where your father's never hugged you. I want to give you a hug where you've been abused in your life as a child. I want to give you a hug, and I want to wash your feet, and I want to kiss your feet, and I want to let you know that everything's going to be all right. Okay. Yes. God's love is everlasting, baby. Well, Wendell, we're Christians now, and that grace stuff, that's what I used to do, you know, when I was a baby Christian. But I'm grown, I'm up there, and that's the stuff that I used to partake in. The Bible says this in Romans 1:5-8. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through what? Yes. Through faith, through him. Yes. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gain access by faith and grace, which we now. You know what you're standing on? Right now, he's talking to Christians. Yeah. You're standing on grace.
Come on,
not on your flesh. It says, and we boast in the hope of glory of God. You know why it says boast? Boast is ego. Boast is who. I praise this. I've seen this. We're not boasting that we did something great. We're boasting that he did something great for us. He took our place. When we should have been at the cross, he took our place. And he got electrocuted for us. We deserve the injection.
Yes, sir.
We deserve the penalty. But he said, I traded places with you. Not in your flesh. It says, through him we have gained access by faith and grace in which we now stand. Some people out here, they confessing that, you know, what's that song? You know, I got the keys. I got the keys, the keys, the keys. Yeah, I ain't got no keys. You got the keys to your flesh. And you can do some stuff in your flesh, amen? I'm telling you, you can do, fear will motivate you like no other, but love conquers all fear. That's the whole thing. It's like, once I understand that Team Jesus beat Team Fear, I was gone. Fear will only lead you so much, but love says, you went 1 mile, I go 2 miles, 3 miles, 4 miles. Hallelujah. Come on, man. So, how do I, you know, sometimes preachers preach, sweat, preach, and then at the end, people are like, okay, that's good. Well, how do I taste and drink this love? Every day, on a consistent basis. How do I have a partake of this love every day when somebody just mistreated me on the job, and somebody abused me when I was young? And I have a counseling clinic that only y'all know about, that every person comes in one way and they leave out healed. And this is the reason why. It's because of this. It says, therefore, in Matthew 6:3, I'm finishing this. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or whatever shall we have clothes? Don't be worried about clothes, money, finances, any of that stuff. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly fathers know that ye have need of all these. That means this. As you ride down the street today, like I said, you're going to pass up rallies, Jack in the Box, Popeye, all these, Hardee's, McDonald's, Arby's, all this type of stuff. But until you pull in and you say, give me a number 3. Number 5, super size. And then you go to the next one. And you exchange something. Here, come on, don't leave me out somewhere. You exchange something for something else. You will never have it unless you say it with your mouth. Zacchaeus couldn't come to his house. Why did Jesus have to ask him? Because you need permission from you, from God. We still have a willpower. We still have a will to say, no, Christ, not today. I'm going to deal with this fool myself. By saying, Lord, I invite you in.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the difference, man. It doesn't matter how nice you are. Satan beat nice people up all day. It's about if you come into agreement with what God said. He says, take no thought saying. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to, you know what? The faith circle in the 90s and 80s kind of jacked people up because, you know, I'll be like, man, I'm having a messed up day, but I know God won't be there. Don't say you're having a messed up day. Don't do it. And the faith police will beat you up. The faith police are the people that let you know that you're never going to say anything wrong. Listen, sometimes you're having a bad day, but just counter that and say, Lord, but I know you're better than this. I mean, never get to the point where you just can't admit that, hey, I'm having a bad day. But Lord, I know you're greater and far greater than the bad things that are happening to me. Simple as that. Man, this thing, I know this ain't your will, God, but I know you're greater, and all things work together for the good, and I know you can flip this around. Just like I've seen you flip millions of things around. Take no thoughts saying. So guess what? Thoughts are going to come. I like what Anthony Bass said. You know, when the, ain't nothing wrong with wine, long you don't embellish it. If you don't take it and embellish it, you know, thoughts are going to come. How many thoughts you hear come by your mind all day, and we don't know how to deal with them? It's like, we got to grab this and grab it. I'm worried about this doctor's appointment. I'm worried about my dad. We don't have to grab nothing. Only thing we have to grab is Jesus. He will keep you focused. He's your torch to the Olympic. He's your torch that will lead you out of blindness. Go ahead, Brother Glenn showed me a picture of a candle, and the candle had a light glimmer from it, and the candle behind it didn't have no shade. That's how Jesus is. There's no darkness in him. So when you ask him, Jesus, I'm having a day that's disturbing my heart right now. Can you help me? He will come in like a flood, and he will bring people your way that you didn't even see. He will bring people that will help you out in that area.
That's true.
Oh, Lord, I'm having a problem. I've had this addiction. I've been on this addiction all day. He says, just keep yielding to me. You're going to mess up probably 100 more times, but just keep yielding to me. And watch me take that thing. There was one addiction I was dealing with for all my 10 years, and then he just shook it away. And then take away. By me trying to take it away and scrub it out. As I was looking at his love healed me to the point where I didn't even know I wasn't doing it anymore. Can we get real?
Yeah.
Or we going to stay fake?
Come on.
This is the problem. When the world comes up to us with real issues, depression, stress, habits, we look like, okay, you'll be right with God when you get rid of this. They're already right with God. God loves us in their mistakes. He just wants you to get rid of this because it's blinding your eyes to how much God is loving you. It's a tool. Just get this stuff out the way because it's hurting your soul. Your mind, your emotions are disturbed right now. You're in anxiety because it's calling your name. He said, but guess what? As that drug addiction calling your name, Jesus calling your name at the same time. And guess what? His drug is stronger than it. Because when you get hooked on him, you can't go back. Who the Son set free is free indeed. That's why I don't have permission to give up on a drug addict. I don't have permission to give up somebody that have their personal addictions. Because he didn't give up on me. So he didn't give up on me. I can't give up on you. Because the bowels of my loins are filled with love. Agape love, though. Not fake love. Agape love. The love that says, I'm going to keep attempting. I'm going to keep attempting. If it was my flesh love, I told that dude, take these, give me these bagels. Give me these donuts. And you can exit out my ride. But God's love, man, when I read this week of how God, when he was getting beat, the Bible says he embraced the cross. And I listen to a B.B. Winer song every month. It says, what type of love places himself in harm's way? I said, Lord, you had me pick this person up, and you infinite in your power. You finite. You omnipresent. You everywhere, every time. You know everything. You omnipotent. You're omnipresent. I said, you knew that he was going to disrespect me. Something else, and I don't drink this, and look at me with an attitude. Why do you have me go talk to this guy? He says, because that's my love. My love talking to the brokenhearted. See, the thing about brokenhearted people is they're going to be broken when they look at you. So when they say something crazy to you, and their perception ain't right, you don't give up on them. They're the brokenhearted. Hurt people hurt other people. But people that are whole and healed, heal other people. Never try to get somebody that's broken to heal your wounds. Tell people people, man, what are you doing? They broken, man. They hurt. If somebody stabs them and they're screaming out of pain and you're attached to them and they're grabbing your arm, guess what they're going to do to your arm when they're hurting? They're going to squeeze. Why? Because that's what they're feeling. What are you feeling right now? Are you feeling his warm embrace? The same love that rescued Zacchaeus from the tree? Because when you're feeling that, I don't care how dirty that person is. I don't care how clean that person is. You're going to minister to that person. The Bible says, how can my bowels of love be in you and then not come out? Like when I got to go to the restroom, my doctor said, your bowels are in a type of way you got to go as soon as you know, when it comes down, I don't care if it's a clean restroom, dirty restroom, I got to go. Get out of my way, I got to go. I'm not examining the restroom. I'm examining the bowels that got to come out. See, I'm not examining the person I'm about to minister to see if they qualify. I'm examining him.
Come on.
That qualified me to unleash on you. Yeah. It's never qualifying them. It's qualifying him. The Bible says, when you don't look at him worthily, the worth of what he has done, some fall asleep early. All these things happen to a person. I'm like, that God, whose word? He said, no. He says, when you don't look at what happened to the cross in a worthy manner, we don't evaluate what just happened at the cross, the detriment of what he went through, then you'll just take what I did lightly for you. That lady at Walmart this week that was hopping and skipping, she took, when she came to this church, she took it, she digested it, she drank it. She's been listening to it over and over and over and over again. It's not just something that she just came to being a part of. It's a part of her now. In him we live, we move, we have our being. Right now my legs are standing on grace because I should have died when somebody was robbing me. That habit should kill me. That car accident I was in and I was in the wrong should have took me out of here. But I'm standing on grace in which we stand. That new job promotion I got this year, I'm standing on grace. So I never have to look back at me and say, how do I stay up? I look back at him and say, why do you love me so much? And he said, because you're my son. Because you're my daughter. And I will never leave you nor forsake. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Is everybody drinking from the cup this morning? The cup of love. Not Eros love. Not Philae love. Not Eros. Not story. I'm talking about God's type of love. Everybody just close your eyes. And this is for everybody this morning. Just say, Lord, I embrace your love this morning. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me when I didn't love myself. Thank you for embracing me at the cross. You're so wonderful, Jesus. Thank you for taking my place. All the things I've done wrong over the years, I can never ever be restored in my own strength. As soon as I accepted you, Jesus, I accept eternal life. You got the keys. You went to hell for me. And I receive that with my mouth. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen. That's for everybody. You know, sometimes we just go, oh yeah, well, this is just for the unbeliever, but it's for everybody. If that was the very first time you ever confessed him as your Lord and Savior, you're saved. Amen. But that's also just a reminder of us. How much more do we have in him?
Come on.
We have gained all access through this man right here. His name is Jesus. And he came and he took a penalty that no man can ever take. And even if you could take it, you're not a sinless man.
Come on.
He was the sinless man. That means that he was the only one that could release the spiritual burdens of him. Amen. That guilt, that shame, that condemnation. You know, I've never see a person walk in the office with guilt and shame and they digest Jesus and they go out the same way. Never happens. Never happens. Once you digest Jesus into your soul, the Bible says, you know, look what happened to Zacchaeus. Did he have to get beat up all day to say, I'm going to give that money back? No. Love spoke to his heart saying, you know what? What I'm doing is wrong, man. And I'm going to give y'all money back because I shouldn't be stealing. I'm putting in like concern. I shouldn't be stealing for y'all. You know, that person that fired me unjustly, I believe the Holy Spirit moved upon his brother's heart. He called me 2 years later, a year and a half later. And he was on the top of the board. And he said, Wendell, and he had tears while he was crying talking to me. He said, what we did to you was wrong. I said, whoa, I ain't never seen nobody say it like that. That's on the top of a board. He said, you know what? I'm excusing myself from this board because what we did for you 2 years was wrong. You know, wrong is still wrong, guys. He says, but, you know, if you want to prosecute us, if you want to do this, I would be the first person that said that this place needs to go down. You know, it had been 2 years later. I said, you know, that's past. I'm moved on, you know. But I believe God moved up on his heart. What do you mean? When the right is right, wrong is wrong. When somebody do wrong, guess what? It's not of God. And it's not God doing somebody something to teach you something. Because God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
But can I learn something out of this? Yeah, what you're going to learn is, even though we live in this evil, corrupt world, God is still good. No matter how many times Joseph was thrown into that pit for, some scholars say, over 32 years, God, by his own brothers. Now, I can see if it wasn't his brother, you know, but his own brothers threw him into this pit. But Joseph wasn't banking off his brothers. He was banking off the dream that he got from God. What's your dream from God? You don't look at the person to get the dream. You look to the Creator. He's the one that's going to bring that dream back. He's the one that got Joseph out of that prison. Gave him favor with the king. And then his brothers came back down to him. And you know what? He didn't beat his brothers up. He said, you know what? So we're going to restore you too. When I looked at that man and said, you know what? I'm going to go give you some organic milk. My flesh said, are you stupid? You're disrespecting me, boy. It went back out there, but it show some stack on me. Put some stack in my car. Nah. See, one thing I learned about God is not an egomaniac. He knows who he is. He let you kill him. Yes, us. We all killed him at that cross. The Bible says it was us that did that to him. I was like, God, if it was me, I'd fly on in earth with a big old flying saucer to let everybody know, oh, I am God. He says, no, I don't reveal myself like that. I reveal myself to people that believe. That day is dead. Thomas is dead. If he comes and he touched me, no. You believe first, then you see second. We trying to see first and believe second. And you'll be at a door that you've been trying to hit all day and wondering why it's nothing happening. No. Receive first. Now I got the victory. We got a church. We got a van. We're going to be in that gym. I was preaching in that gym before I preached in the gym. I go to that gym, something I always tell you, I go to that gym every morning because I see us being there. Amen? It's in your heart first. Thank you, Jesus. Amen?
Good morning.
Good morning.
That was the message, wasn't it?
Yes.
Amen. I got